2K. Today's daf is daf chof beis, and we'll begin with the Mishnah. Zokter Helik Mishnah. So kaha miduvlelet. Exactly what that means. A strange word. Sounds a little bit like dal, which means sort of weak or poor. We'll see that the Gemara has a number of different approaches to this, and it's also not going to be clear whether the next words are part of these or whether it's another word, sukkah hamiduvlelis, which is shetzelatam ruba mechamata without the vav, or whether these are two different cases, sukkah hamiduvlelet and sukkah shetzelatam ruba mechamata, a sukkah that has more tzel than chama, which you'll say is rather obvious since that's how we started the Masechta, but actually not only is it not the same as that opening Mishnah, the Gemara is going to point out that the implications of that Mishnah and this Mishnah are opposites and going to ask them against each other. So let's wait for that. Both of these types of sukkahs are kshera. Hamu'uveh, kimin bayit, where the schach is extremely thick, so that it seems to be almost the same as a roof. Of course, this brings us all the way back to the gzeirat tikra, which has been so troubling us. Even though there are not any stars visible, which actually implies that it would be nice that the stars should be visible, which is really as the Shulchan Aruch paskins it. And then there's the other question, which we've spoken about so many times, about the ability for the rain to penetrate, which is basically does with the Rabbi Tam Shita at the beginning of the Masech, that if it's that thick that the rain can't get in, then it also is very similar to a bayit. It doesn't have any of the characteristics of a sukkah as leaving your home to go to the sukkah. But that's a separate issue, and that indeed we need. We pass in the Mishnah Berurah. But the kochavin rimetocha b'riavad it's kshera. Now, ask the Gemara, my miduvlelet. What exactly does the word miduvlelet mean? Omar Rav Sukaniya. It means a lashon of dal. Duvlal is a dalut. It has very little schach. It's got a lot of airspace in the schach, but the total result is that you've got no area that has a split in the airspace, and there's nothing that shlosha tvachim bichlal down the middle. And therefore, as long as you've got a sukkah that's got tzelata merupa mechamata, it's kosher. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, no, the Mishnah is coming to tell me a chiddush, a new case we haven't spoken about before, which is kane ole, the kane yored. It's talking about that it's miduvlal in the sense of confused. So he didn't make the schach on an even layer, which would normally be. You would have, let's say you're using pkanim, you're using bamboo. You put the cane down, one piece of cane, next to the next piece of cane. But over here, you have basically some of it is on top, some of it is on a lower level. We can imagine a number of different frames. We can imagine a frame that has got like an edge that is going up and down, so that it would have basically been tzelasa miruba mechamasa, but it isn't because it's miduvlelet. And because of that, the sun is able to penetrate from the sides. Had it all been on one level, it would have been okay. Comes along the Mishnah to tell us that nonetheless, miduvlelet would be kosher. So according to Rav, therefore, what we're saying over here is, and let's just say it would have been tzelata miruba mechamata, even though umaisa, it isn't. That's how Rashi learns. There are others who hold that Lamaisa, if it's Tzelota Miruba Mechamata only in its current situation, or it's still Tzelota Miruba Mechamata, it's Kshera. Not that it would have been Tzelota Miruba Mechamata. In any event. What it turns out, therefore, is that Rav, who's learning that it means a Sukaniya, he understands the Mishnah to be saying one thing. In other words, he's saying a sukkah, which is aniyah, is kosher as long as it's tzelata miruba mechamata. So that, here's how to read it. Sukkah miduvlelet, meaning what? My miduvlelet. Meaning midudelet, that doesn't have much schach, is kosher as long as tzelata miruba mechamata, then it's kshera. Whereas according to Shmuel, Shmuel tani tarte. Shmuel would be saying two separate clauses in the Mishnah. First of all, Sukkah Meduvlalet, meaning, my Meduvlalet, meaning, Mibubelet, which was Kana, Ola Kana Yoret. So you have one piece that's higher, one piece that's lower. And Tarte Katani, the Mishnah is saying two things. Sukkah Mibubelet, Kishera, even though, as Rashi is learning, Chamatam Ruba Mitzelta, in its current state, because we view the whole thing as if it were all on one level. And on that level, it would have been Tzilata Meruba Chamata. And then secondly, there's another thing, and that is a sukkah, which has very little schach. Tzilata Meruba Chamata is Kshera. Omer Abai. Abai says now, in reference to this, in the way Shmuel is learning it, Lo Shanu, where do we say that a sukkah that is Kano Leve Kano Yoreit is all put down on one level and viewed as a single schach? If the distance in height between the lower level of schach and the upper piece of schach that's above it, and so on, each time that it moves, is less than 3 tefachim, so in other words, in that case, we would say lavud, and it's as if it's all really on one level and connected to each other. So In that case, we say it only if it's within lavud. Avod yesh, bein zeh lezeh shloshat tvachim, once you'll have a greater height differentiation, more than 3 tvachim, then it's psula, because in this state we can't put it together, and it would be, now chamatam rubu betzalata, and therefore it's parshat. And it would be possible because of the standard psul of chamatam rubu betzalata, we don't have the chiddush to tell me to put it together. The Tosis does not learn that the psul would be because of Chamatam Meruba Mitzelata, but rather it's because there's no schach. In other words, what you have is it's irrelevant of how much sun is getting in, since you don't have a roof, because it's more than 3 tefachim, there's no schach, technically speaking, on this sukkah in one place at all, and therefore who cares? I mean, it might as well be under Hashtarot Kanaim, as far as we're concerned about where that cell is coming from. So according to him, we don't get into the issue of Chamatam Meruba Mitzelta. Now, Rava says a very interesting thing, which argues on Abaye. We've met many different elements of the concepts of Halach L'Moshe Mitzinai's that have to do with Mechitzas and Sichuch. Things like the good achid and good achids, and we also have, of course, included in that is the pitikra yorid v'sotem ideas and the lovud ideas and the dofen akuma. Well, there's something else, says Rav, you're not taking into consideration, which is afil yesh bein zeh lezeh shlosha tefachim. You haven't really defined the case well enough, says Rav to Abaye, because there is a case where even if you have 3 tefachim and more height differentiation, nami lo amran, there's no psul of not being in the same place, ela kishein begago tefach. It's only if in the area that we're trying to be mashveh, to pull down one to the other, if we don't have the kana being a tefach wide, therefore it doesn't have the shame of roofing. And therefore it has to be lovud to the piece beneath it. Ava yesh begago tefach, let's say the piece of schach now that is 3 tefachim above the adjoining piece of schach is also a tefach wide, then that doesn't matter. Then it's kosher. Why? The amrinan, in a case like this, where you've got a shear of an ohel, which is one tefach, we say chavot, which means to push it down, romi, and throw it. In other words, so pull it down and throw it into its place. Take the upper kone, which is a tefach wide, and put it right there in its place between the bottom one, in which case it's on the same level as the bottom. Now, this is really in part of the halacha of good achit. Good achit means throw down a wall. There, it's talking specifically about the edge of a mechitza. When we talk about a actual piece that we're moving in height from one level to another to make it an olo, we use the word chavata and hashpala. But the inyan is basically a subsection of the general halach of god and achit, which basically means the same thing, except that it's more what you would use in reference to the edge of a thing rather than to pull down a piece. Okay, so we say chavot rami. He says, Rava, look, I know this sounds new to you. Let me prove to you This concept of Chavod Rami applies. Omar Rav Mina Minala. Where can I show you that there's this din of Chavod Rami? That there's such a halakh of Chavod Rami, which is indeed dependent in the size of the pieces. I will prove it from the following Mishnah. The Tznan in Oyalois, it says in the Mishnah like this, Korot HaBayit, where you have roof beams. And these roof beams are now the actual roof, and they're serving as the also the flooring beams of an upper story, which are therefore they're the Ha'aliyah. In other words, they serve as well now. You have other Korot that are on the second story, which is the overall roofing of the house. And they have basically a tefach, and there's space in between, which you fill up with, you know, what you usually do, insulating materials, tiles, and so on and so forth. These are the actual beams that you kick the you knock the tiles into. She'ein aleihem azivan. We're talking about over here where you didn't lay down a plaster floor. So you don't have any, you know, all you have is the raw beams. So now, these lower story and upper story beams are mechuvanot, so that they're parallel to each other, so that if you're looking up, you basically see one. And they're one right on top of the other. Tum'ah, if you now have, let's see, you would have a kizayis min ha'meis, which would be metame b'ho. Tachas echat mihen, if it's on the lower story, underneath one of those lower beams, so then tachteha, all along that beam, which is a tefach wide, therefore has a din of an ohel, anything that is under that beam is tameh. Because once it's a tefach, it's a shear of an ohel, and therefore it brings tuma all along it in all directions to which it extends. However, anything to the side, which is not under it, is not included. Anything above it is not included in the tuma, because this korabing is a tefach wide, acts as a chatzitza and prevents the tuma from going up to the second story. Now, suppose the tuma was bein hatachtona le'elyona. Suppose the tuma was put on the second story. So now it's directly beneath the upper story korah, which is parallel to where it is sitting on, which is the lower story's korah. Then the din would be, if it's between the korah yona korah tachtona korah yona, so then bein ahem, anything which is on that lower korah, underneath, by definition, therefore, the upper korah, because after all it's parallel, is tameh. But nothing above the upper korah, meaning on the outside of the house on the roof, would be tameh, because there's a chatzitza, the chatzitza being the korah above. How about if the tuma was al gabei ha'el yuna? Suppose it was on the roof, actually, and it was on the upper korah, so now the tuma will only extend directly upwards into space, because there's nothing between it and the open space. And kinegda, therefore, adorakiyatameis. Anything that passes over that area, any satellite that passes right over that place, will be hit by tuma. But if, let's say, they were not mechuvanot, let's say they weren't exactly parallel, and hayu ha'elyonot, how about if the other way around, that the elyonot were actually in between the space, and they were kebena tachtonot, they covered the empty spaces between the lower korot. So now we look at it like this. If the tuma is tachtehem, which is the tuma, here we have the girsa, the tuma tachas achat mehen, actually in the Mishnah. But the idea is the same. So we have a tuma underneath one of these korot, whether it's underneath one of the upper korot, or whether it's underneath one of the lower korot, the din would be tachat kulam tameh. The entire house, all along its bottom story as well, is tameh. Because apparently we're looking at those upper korot, we're putting them down in between the area between the lower korot, which means that we look at the entire house as being mikura. It's all covered by one long and wide ohel. and anything anywhere in the house would therefore be considered to be tame. If the tuma was above these korot, me'al gabehen, so then, kinegdan adarakiyat tame, whatever would be only directly above them, would be facing outside, that would be tame, but the tuma would not go down. V'tani Allah, now in the Brice it clarifies, that Bamed Varim Amurim, when was all of this said, what we just explained, Bizman Chiesh Bam Tefach, only if the korot that we're moving around over here have a tefach. So over there, if you find tuma underneath the lower korah, since there's a tefach which is a shear of an oil, so it causes everything to be tameh all along the length of the one tefach wide korah. And furthermore, because it's a tefach, it doesn't allow the tuma to escape above it, because the korah that's a tefach is also a chatzitza. Furthermore, if the tomb is above the lower korah, so nothing becomes tame under it either, because it's chotzetzetz. So when we were talking about, in the case where the korot elyonot were placed in between the middle space, between the tachtonot, and we said the entire bayit is tame, is also true only if we don't have beinehem, we do have beinehem a poteach tefach, because then we can fill up the entire thing by saying chavot rami of the upper korot into the lower space. So there shear is a tefach. Aval ein beinehem poteach tefach, if in the area between the two korot there's no poteach tefach, which means that the korot that are meant to fit into that space do not have a shear of a tefach width. And then the halacha would be tuma tachat achat mehem. If tuma is underneath one of the korot atachtonot, then the tachteh tamei, since the korot atachtonot are in tefach, so long the entire length of that tefach is considered to be tamei. But whatever is in the rest of the house is not tamei, because since you don't have a tefach in the elyonot, you don't say chavot rami. If you don't say chavot rami, then the entire house cannot be viewed as one big oel, to be matame anything in it. Furthermore, beinehem, if you would have something that was sitting between the lower and upper korot, will also not now be matame in a case where they are mekuvanot in this fashion. Because the tuma, which is underneath the korot tachtona, since it's roch of tefach, it is chotzetz. And if the korel yona is not directly above the tachtona, it's between them, and you have al gabehem, you have things on top of the korot ha-tachtonot, would also be tahar, because the korot ha-tachtonot doesn't allow the tuma to go up. Alma, so therefore, says Rava, you see from here, ki it pei tefach, it's only if that upper korah had now the tefach, because there was a tefach space in between the korot on the bottom, only then, damrin chavot rami, we fill up the entire house as if it's one oil. But chilat pei tefach lo amrin chavot rami, shma amina. From here we see that there's no din of chavot rami of less than a tefach, in which case, by extension to our Mishnah, where you have the schach, kona ala, kona yore, if you would have a tefach in the schach, it wouldn't matter how far above the lower schach it was, even if it wasn't within lovud, we don't need to use lovud, we can use the din of godachit mechitza, which in this particular case, in this permutation of that halacha, is called chavot rami of the board, and we would now have a complete schach over our sukkah. Yossi Rav Kanav Kamal HaLashmait says, Rav Kanav is sitting saying over what Rava just said, that it's possible to be machshir a sukkah, even if it's more than three tvachim, as long as you would say chavot rami. Omalei Rav Ashi Rav Kanav. So Rav Ashi, who heard over this maimer, asked Rav Kahana and Rav Ashita, and said to him, you mean to tell me that kol hechel let be tefach lo min chavot rami? And indeed we cannot say the din of chavot rami in a case where there's no tefach. Tanya, doesn't it say in Erevin, back in our sugya of Mavli, where over there you need to have a korah, and from extending from one wall to the other, and that korah, as we just had yesterday, actually it was last week, Korah Yotze Mikotoze, Veinu Nogad Mikotoze. If you have a Korah that comes out of one end but doesn't get all the way to the other end, or if you have two Korot, Achat Yotze Mikotoze, Achat Yotze Mikotoze, Veinu Nogad, and Zo Bezo, where you have two Korot, one that's coming out from the right wall and one that's coming out from the left wall, aimed towards each other, but they just don't have the length to make it. So we said over there, if it's pachot mishlosha, if it's less than three tefachim distance between them, either between the two korot in the middle or between the korah and the wall that was supposed to hit on the other side, eno tzarech lavi korah acher. In that case, he does not have to bring another korah, and we simply use lovod to seal it up, and now you're matir the mavui with a virtual korah that is a korah only because of lovod. But if it's shlosha tefachim, where there's no din of lovod, tzarech lavi korah acheret, then you're going to have to bring another korah to fill the entire space. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel argues, and he says, V'yomer, pochot mi arba'ah, it's not three tefachim, it's four tefachim that ain't tzarech lavi korah acheret, and this is his shita all over, that pochos mi arba tefachim is lovod, not pochot mi shlosha tefachim. If you've got, according to him, his shear of non-lavud, which is more than four tefachim, you'll have to bring another korah to take its place. Now, v'chein, now also, there's another halacha about the korot of the mavui, and that is the width of the mavui. The width of the korah has to be strong enough, wide enough, to hold a brick. Now, the brick in those days was 3x3. It was a 3x3 square. It was a block, actually. Now, riach is what we would call a brick, which is a half of a levina, and it's a tefach and a half by 3 tefachim long, which is basically like our standard brick. So now, if what you have over here is two korot, and neither of them are wide enough on their own to be able to hold this ariach, which is thin. So if you have shtei korot matimot, you have now two korot that are there in parallel, lo bezo kedei lekabel ariach v'lo bezo lekabel ariach, neither of them is wide enough to hold that brick. So im mekablot ariach l'roch bo tefach, ein tzarich lavi korah acheret. So if now they are close enough that they could hold an ariach along its width, which is a tefach, not along its length, along its width, so you don't have to bring another korah. But if not, then you don't have a full tefach, because a tefach will support that tefach and a half. If you don't have a full tefach when the two of them are together, you're going to have to bring another korah to do the job. Says Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, that you can be mekel, even in a case that they don't have a tefach berucha. Nonetheless, if these korot are strong enough that they're mekablot ariach le'orko, that they could hold the weight of the length of a brick, which is shlosha tefachim, by having them separated from each other, and that way you could put the ariach down on them, then ain't tzarech lavi korah acheret, you don't have to worry about it. V'im lav tzarech lavi korah acheret, otherwise you'll have to. Now, in this case, are you achat lamala ve'achat lamata? Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudah Omer, ro'ina yona ki ilu ilamata, ve'tatach tona ki ilu ilamala, ובלבד שלא תהיה עליונה למעלה מ-20 אמה, והתחתונה למטה מ-10. So in a case where you have one of them that's above, one of them that's below, and they're within the shear of the mavui, which we know the shear is just as it was with the sukkah, has to be a minimum of 10 tefachim high, a maximum of 20 amot high. So in such a case where they're not up against one another, we look at the upper one as if it's below, the lower one as if it's above, as long as we're in these two to be mitzarev to the shear of the tefach, as long as they're not outside of the range. So then we would put them together and consider it to be one korah. So what do you see from here, says Rav Ashi? Not like Rava. Doesn't say a word here. Doesn't say anything about Rochav Tefach. Talks about there not being Esrim Amma. That's all. Hazev Ezeh B'toch Esrim. As long as they were within this year, Amrina Chavot Rami, Avagav the Lesbei Tefach. So how does Rava say, the only time that we say Chavot Rami, is if it has a Tefach. And over here we see clearly that if you're going to say Chavot Rami, you don't need a Tefach. Omar Leis, Rifkana said back to Rav Ashi, the truth is that since there's no Rochav Tefach, there is no din of Chavot Rami, exactly as Rava says. V'tarit ve'imah hachi. What you have to do is you have to explain the bright as follows. U'bilvat shelo tehek elyona l'mala mi'esrim, ela b'toch esrim, ve'atachtona smuch ala b'pachot b'shvosha. The idea over here is that we're not saying chavot. Notice we didn't say take the top one and throw it down. What we said was we look at them as being at the same level. The lower one is higher and the higher one is lower. But that's because of lovehood. Then continues the Braisa, or Inami, in another case, and then the Elyona would be Pachot Bishlosha Tvachim. But Afal Shlosha, once it would be more than three Tvachim or more, given the Letzbe Tefach, Lo Amrina Chavot Rami. Where do you see that this was in terms of the Din of Chavot Rami at all? Now, the next thing that we had in the Mishnah, it says, Shel Tamir Ruba Mechamata. Ask the Gemara, is that not clearly saying that you need more Tzel than Chama? In other words, but if it would be even, Hokiyada, let's say you had to have the Chama and the Tzel being exactly the same, it would be Psula. But in the beginning of the Masechta, the opening of the Masechta, Tanam Yidach Pirkin, only a sukkah shechamata miruba mitzilta psula. Only if it has more sun than shade is it possible, which is maspen that if it was even, hakiyadad it would be kshera. So it means that these two mishnayot are not only not saying the same thing, they're actually saying the opposite thing in terms of their implications. And says the Gemara lo kasha. Khan, in our Mishnah, when it's talking about you need to have dafka more tzel than chama, that's mashma that if they were the same, they would be posel. That's talking about milamala, that the schach above, indeed, would have to be schach more than space. But if you would have schach and avir that would be the same, then einachiyam would be posel. But that's because the light spreads as it goes down. Whereas Khan in the Mishnah, in the opening of the Mishnah of the Masechta, it says dafka if it's chamatami meruba mitzil tamashma, that if it would be even, it would be okay, and that only chamatam meruba is possible. That's the Mishnah was talking about milamata, that's on the ground. And on the ground, if the chama and the tzel are the same, then that means that you have more schach than avir on top. Omer of Papa, I know that I'm reading Shay. Rav Papa says that the way people put it, as Rav Papa often does this, is kizuza mili'el. And when you have the shear of avir, of one zuz, which is a very small coin, ends up on the ground becoming ki'istra milatachat. It spreads into the shear of a sela, which is a much larger shear. By the time the light hits the ground, because it spreads. You know, Tosfos has a very different pirush on this. And he says, if you measure the amount of tzel and chama on the top, and they're the same, then we're paskening here that porot is ka'emid, and it's kosher, like we said before, the sukkah is kosher. But if you would be on the ground, and now you're looking up from the ground, you're not measuring the shadow on the ground, you're looking up from the ground, and it looks to you like there's as much light as there is shadow, and you want to use that as the basis of measuring, claiming that it's porot is ka'emid, then the sukkah isn't kosher. Why? Because the opening avir, which is the shear of a zuz, which is large, looks, because of the distance, only like an istara, which is small. In the same way, says Tosfos, that the stars look to us like they're very small, because of the fact that they're so far away. So same to you over here. Take a look at the light that's coming through. Imagine it as a star. So at the distance that you're viewing it, it seems to be smaller than it actually would have been up front. And that's an effect in which something light actually is measured by as being smaller. That means that he's not talking about measuring the ground, but measuring the top from the ground. Okay, the next thing that we had in our Mishnah was that if the sukkah was mu'uvak min bayit, if it's a very thick schach, then it's kosher even though there's no stars. Now the Bray says, mefarish, tana rabbanan, mu'uvak min bayit, afal pi she'ena kochavim yorim mitucha kshira. So if you don't see the stars in the sky, it's kosher, but im ein kochvei chama yorim mitucha. However, if it's so thick that you can't even see the beams of the sun in it. And so Rashi explains, the Rambam explains, you can't even see a large star, which would be visible even in technical daytime, so you can't even see, let's say, Venus through it or something. So then already that's considered to be too thick. It's similar to the Tikra. And at that point, it would be a problem. So, in kochavecha maniran betocha, there Beit Shammai puzzlin, because it's not like a sukkah. And Beit Hillel, makshir was besos makshir, even in that case. Okay, so in other words, apparently, the way Rabbi Nachman says that apparently, even according to Beit Hillel, it's important to be able to see l'chatchila kochavecha maniran. Okay, I think we'll start the next Mishnah in tomorrow's daf.